Welcome to the OM Podcast, our Wes podcast all about the mobile industry. My name is Keith Smythe, and I'm the Android lead developer here at Outwear Mobile.
And my name is Peter Talbot. I'm the visual designer here at Outwear.
And very good.
I mean, lead. There's more than one.
And with me today... Damn it. I was going to say that you were slightly older than me today, Peter. I learnt that today.
Moving on.
We're joined here today by a couple of newbies. They've never seen a microphone before in their lives. They have no idea what's going on. There's headphones on their head and there's no music. Yeah, exactly. You've heard them both now. They're people who just can't leave well enough alone. You give them something nice and they change it. They're the reason we can't have nice things. You give them a pizza, they turn it upside down and they eat it. So these backwards pizza eating freaks, we've got, first of all, a new face, Alex Barnett.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Hope I didn't scare people. I'm reading here that your claim to fame is having the number one app in the UK App Store. Called Britain's Got Talent.
That's correct. Way back in early 2010, in the twilight years of the App Store. Seems like an age ago already, but it doesn't take long to be a veteran in this game.
It was the golden years where Britain's Got Talent came out.
Yeah,
that was when the beer apps were really popular.
Oh, you could tip your phone and the beer would kind of tip with it.
It's magic!
We kind of had that, though. We kind of had that. In the app, there was a buzzer. So, if you've seen the show, one of the main points of the show is rejecting someone and pressing the buzzer like that. So, you know, that was great.
Yeah, it had something was visual. A buzzer.
But, after releasing the app and being on the London Underground and hearing it a million times a day, it was played in my mind a little bit. So,
sounds like a big step up from the fart button. Well, probably rated number two.
I think it's more of a sidestep.
I think you're right.
But I could just picture you in the train and everyone like pressing the button. You're like, stop doing that. But you told us to.
Something like that,
The QA department hated you that day. That other sultry voice there is Mr. James Litchens. Welcome, James.
G'day, guys. How's it going?
Hello. I'm not allowed to say that you've done voiceover work. So I'm not going to say that James Litchens has done voiceover work at all.
Oh, yeah, totally. Every weekend I do voiceover work. Yeah, no.
James, I think, sounds like a school prefect.
What is a school prefect? You'll have to educate me on this one.
It's, you know, like in private schools, they have boys that are like the leaders.
Demerits.
Oh.
I can change it.
Did you go to private
school,
James?
I can have a really good Aussie accent, Bogan accent, if you want, for the whole episode.
Hang on to that. We'll pull it out. Right. Don't show all your cards at once.
Just randomly, go full Bogan. It works. I should mention, Alex Barnett is an Outwear's delivery manager.
That's right.
You manage the deliveries. Can you explain what a delivery manager is?
Some might say it's the glue that binds, but others might say, no, I'm the help lead the PM team, so I like to be seen as one of the troops in the front line, being agile. And what that means is, organizing the teams for the projects, helping them get kicked off, finding the right people and, you know, giving the team a helping hand. So, yeah, a bit of a all-round facilitator, really. But, in the client's eyes and... in our own eyes as well, just like to be as visible as possible. So
nice. Yeah, I think you're the first delivery manager we've had in the company and on the show.
It says
great privilege.
In his bio here that owns the our delivery method. Parentheses wins projects, finds people, builds project teams, and delivers
delivery.
What do you mean by wins projects?
Well.
It's an interview now.
Oh, God, I haven't planned
for this. Welcome to the podcast, Grill.
Look, I work pretty closely with the business development team, so I'll be involved pretty closely on pitches and, putting all the collateral together to make sure that if we're going for a project, we're the right guys to do it. Here are some examples of what we can do and why we'll help make it happen. So essentially ensuring the delivery of that. So, yeah, it's... pretty nice to be involved in all ends of that spectrum.
Very nice. Also says here you're an early adopter and a tinkerer.
So that doesn't mean I take children before they're ready.
It says here, according to your profile.
And it's even got inverted commas around tinkerer.
We should have introduced him like that. Alex Barnett, the tinkerer. Delivery manager and tinkerer.
I didn't put,
tinkle manager.
It also says, early adopter, tinkerer, and gadget fetish. Is that when you set your phone to vibrate? and...
no? Cut in, Alex. Cut in.
No. What it means is...
It says after that, new phone every 3 months.
Yeah, there we go. Clarification for Pete. Okay. So there's nothing sexual some attraction.
You got to keep reading.
Yeah.
You got to read between the lines.
All
Pete.
Comes in the end. So, no, I guess from my perspective, I don't really keep a phone longer than 3 months. Doesn't mean I don't like them. It just means that there's new stuff coming all the time and I want to see it. I want to feel it. It's a tactile experience. It's about playing with the new software and you know, seeing it in my hand and thinking about the next one. So,
Peter's ruined my mind. Everything you're saying, I'm just thinking of it as a double entendre. Is that a word?
Yeah. But I didn't write Fiddler.
I think that's what makes you two, Alex and James, special.
Don't ruin me into this. It's nothing about what my mind goes.
Something I found out about both of you guys is you like to tinker with your things, with toys. I believe both
James,
of you now.
It's been said that you're a deviant as well. Explain.
Okay, so an example, at lunchtime today I was flying a little mini quadcopter. These are the things they're pretty cool. Anyway, flying around the office and then managed to fly it into a wall and then found out that there was a cupboard that's attached to the wall, has a lovely big space behind it. And
about the same size as a quadcopter.
Yeah.
God, a small quadcopter.
And Keith, thank you for taking that lovely photo of me bent over the top of the...
You're welcome. For those who weren't there, I saw James up on a ladder trying to rescue his poor quadcopter from behind the massive shelving unit with some sort of coat hanger contraption, and I just thought I'd take a few photos.
We're only 6 minutes in, and this episode is highly sexual.
Best episode ever.
Pete, are you touching me under the table?
Just for the show notes, these guys aren't coming back. It's not professional.
James, let's make it a good one. Come on.
This is the Welcome to our WEM podcast, PM. It's the... It's the jazzy PM version of the podcast.
So just getting back on track and just try to keep your mind out of the gutter, please.
Come on, people, grow up, really.
Just a second.
I can't promise anything.
Okay, so James, or Jimmy Jams, as I affectionately call you.
Petey.
Are you doing it again? you're a project manager here.
I am, as well. Yes.
And what does that involve?
So project management takes on a whole range of different... the job title's quite vague.
Tell it to me in a tweet, James. Come on, let's go.
So for here, it's pretty much a blend of sort of business and technical project management. So I understand what the client wants in terms of the app, and I've also got enough of an understanding of the technical side of it to either be dangerous or help out with giving solutions and guiding the... clients and developers and the whole team towards putting an app together that will meet the timelines and give us a winning 5-star rated app.
And what sort of apps are we talking here? Like the fart button, the beer app?
Well, that's one of my top ideas that I really want to work on.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to do it yet. So I've been working with Sportsbet for a fair part of last year and then Coles for a fair bit of this year for a couple of their main apps, and yeah, they're going quite well in the app store, which is good. So
cool. Awesome. All right, I'm going to bring us back on track now. Today we're talking about customization and early adoption and tinkering. I think I'm just going to call this one the tinker episode. I like it. So we've got lots and lots of things to talk about, but one of the main things that I've noticed about you guys is both of you mess with your phones.
Yep. So not like that.
Messing with phones has a much more not like that. We can't get out. Has a much more technical term to it. So from an iPhone perspective, it's jailbreaking, and from an Android perspective, it's rooting your phone, or
we cannot get away from
or loading custom ROMs. Trying to take that one wrong. So just to set the ball rolling and get us on track and out of the gutter, what is jailbreaking, Alex?
Well, I think the correct term for jailbreaking, rooting, is something called privilege escalation. So it means getting access to the secure area of your device. And why would you do that? Probably to modify the OS. You want to load in your own version. You want to possibly install unverified applications. And this is outside of the respective app stores. So really just gaining full control of what's going on in your handset.
So yeah, like when you're normally... using your device. You're not the administrator of your device. You're essentially right. like a guest.
Yeah.
And so Apple or your carrier can sort of lock down lots of things that you can and can't do on your device.
Yeah.
And things like that. And jailbreaking will kind of change that.
And look, there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that those, so they can ensure the experience on that device. They can, you know, put things like warranties in place and they can keep the telcos happy and all manner of things. So.
Make sure you're not breaking your stuff.
Yeah. Is it true that it's now legal to, sorry, what was that word you used?
Privilege
escalate your iPhone legally in the United States of America now?
You can, that's right. It's changed a number of times. And
straight
and
to the point.
Yeah, absolutely. This is way down my notes. So. And look, there's been quite a bit of legislation change purely because the amount of people doing it has just gone through the roof. People want access to their devices. They're paying for them. The devices belong to them. But it's not necessarily the law around being able to do it or not. It's actually the kind of interlinked laws that are potentially broken as a result of it. So
what sort of interlinked laws can be broken if I jailbreak my iOS device, for example?
So, look, there are still laws in some countries with some telcos around SIM unlocking. So, mm-hmm. you know, the reason for that is that you ensure it's on a particular network and obviously they can ensure service for you. But also if phones get stolen and unlocking them and, you know, appearing on the black market. But also another law that gets broken with rooting or jailbreaking is around copyright law. So, you know, you want access to your device, you want to install stuff. Where does that stuff come from? You know, does it belong to other people? Has it come from app stores? And remember that, you know, when you set your devices up and you sign up to your app store or your Play Store, you're signing terms and conditions. And when you put applications on your device through other methods, you're kind of circumventing those. So, yeah, there's some grey areas in there. And look, I don't think it's, you know, you're not going to get a knock on your door by the police, but it's something that has always been kind of, you know, front and centre of the whole discussion.
So it's not like that ad where that cop breaks through the door. It's like, you wouldn't download a car. And the cop just kind of shoots.
Forget you, cop. I would if I could.
I think everyone's answer to that ad, even though it was a kind of fake ad almost, it was, yes, I would download a car. That's really cool.
It's interesting how they've handled the anti-piracy stuff in Australia. Have you seen the latest campaign where it's like...
I don't watch TVs. Okay.
Well, I think it's like at the movies when you go to a cinema and they play it.
A cinema.
They've really changed...
The moving pictures, old man.
The picture one. Oh, my word, what a delight. Yeah, the campaign now is really friendly. It's like, thanks. Thanks for supporting Australian cinema.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like, please don't steal from us.
I think you catch more...
I'm going to say, I'm actually impressed with that. They're not using scare tactics anymore.
Yeah, you catch more flies with honey.
That's how you train a dog. You reward the good. You don't like smack them when they're bad. Mm. They don't like that. You reward the good. Oh, this just in, the song that was used in the copyright ad, we're told by our lovely producer, was actually not, was used illegally, really? Which actually does ring a bell, yeah.
Well, our irony detector's just going off the charts.
It's just gone all the way up to 11. So back on track, so jailbreaking, privilege escalation. So that's the iOS side of things. You can do something similar with Android.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of paths to it, and I'll step back to iOS in a second. But in terms of Android, what does it mean? Well, you want to get on your device. Some manufacturers actually allow it, and there's two things you need to do. So on its highest level, its simplest level, you've got root access, where, again, it's this privilege escalation, and you know, you can essentially write to the file system. And then beyond that, you can get access to the hardware as well. So you need to start unlocking bootloaders. You will be... you know, downloading specific ROMs from different places. So the XDA forums online are a pretty popular place. So they've got multiple threads for multiple devices and multiple contributors. And people who don't necessarily know how to write and create these OSs are getting involved. They're beta testing, they're getting nightlies, they're getting, you know, builds that are just moving out of alpha, beta and becoming quite stable releases. And one very, very popular version of that is the Cyanogen OS that's come available. It supports multiple platforms, and in fact, it's got so popular that supporting multiple versions. But they're also starting to release it on brand new devices. So there's some obscure manufacturers in Asia that have developed devices and start releasing Cyanogen as a core OS on it, which is it's great. It's the power to the people. Yeah. And
I'm watching the OnePlus One really closely because it actually is a very good looking phone as well.
Yeah.
It reminds me a bit of the Nexus 5. It's just this really good looking phone with Cyanogen, and it's running latest version of Android. It's KitKat at the moment.
Yeah.
But they've promised to go up to Android L when it comes, like, I think 3 months after it comes out.
Yeah.
I think they've stated. But it's very interesting that you've got this new Android fork.
Yeah. And let's talk about the practicalities of doing it. You have to have the Android SDK installed on your machine. You've got to get ADB installed, which means you've got certain command line permissions to crack into the device and start sideloading files in, such as the OS.
Can I throw in definitions as you go?
Yeah.
So I can... SDK is a software developer kit. ADB is the Android debug bridge. It allows you to connect to an Android phone and throw commands at it.
Oh, can you come to me with meetings? There's a lot of acronyms.
I secretly want to do this at meetings. Yeah. I usually ask other people to define what these things mean.
That's why I want Google Glass just as an acronym decoder.
I can just imagine you in the middle of a meeting and just like you put your head up in the air and you're like, okay, Glass, what does SDK stand for? People are trying to talk over you.
Is Peter okay? Is he having a fit again? Or I know he's using glass. That's fine.
But it's okay. So what does it actually look like, this mod, like compared to, say, the Nexus, like the default thing that you get on a Nexus? What's the advantage of having this? How do you say it?
Cyanogen.
Cyanogen?
Yeah, it's... look, when we fire up our devices, we look at it, we get a lock screen. Lock screen might be different and you might have... controls to customize that in the menus. Also the home screens, how they're arranged, and the animations and transitions, and how the grids are laid out, how big the icons are, and also the app drawer and flick through it. So that's at its highest level. There's a bit of visual candy in there that people can play with. But as soon as you go into all the settings, you've got all this host of other options you can access as a special user. So you can really get to the lower level of customization around how quickly it transitions or animates. But, there might also be some hardware elements like overclocking that you can... so this is where the customizers really get a little bit excited.
It's like where the tinkerers get
that's
happy.
Right. Let's turn up the megahertz and the voltages. And what does that mean? Well, you can run your device a lot faster, but with all things, with the benefits come negatives as well. And look, there's... for this whole customization thing, regardless of being iOS or Android, there's quite a lot of things that you need to watch out for. It's not just, loading it on and then happy days, carry on, and this is what I've got now. There's quite a few implications.
Mm. One of the things that interested me was actually underclocking.
Yeah.
Battery's a big deal for me, and I feel most of the time my phone has too much power.
Yeah, it's like, tear your hand off. Wow.
It's just so powerful.
I'll turn it down, Apple. Get real.
It's too much. It's just too much.
That's what a lot of these ROMs, particularly in the early days, were trying to do. Extend the battery life was one of the big... draw cards to picking one ROM over another to say that it would last 3 hours longer than the other one.
I was an overclocker, James. Sorry.
So it was 1 hour less.
That's why I need a new phone every 3 months. I just burn out. Live fast.
Does anyone have any experience with White Door?
White Door?
It's
no.
It's like a custom firmware for older iOS devices.
Does it use zeros for the O's in it's, Door? That makes it cool.
Yeah, well, I put it on my iPhone 3G, which is the second generation iPhone.
What's a 3G? Continue, don't worry.
It's a network protocol. Wikipedia, bro. So basically it's a custom firmware, and it sort of gives you a lot of the features that came in later releases. Mm. And it just runs better and you get better battery life. Because I found when I had my 3G for a very, very long time, and because I went from a 3G to a 4S, so I missed a couple of generations. And towards the end of its life, it just really didn't function at all because Apple stopped supporting it, and the firmware that was meant to run on it was just not great. And I think because I had a carrier unlock as well, because it was locked to 02 and I needed to use it in Australia.
Dodgy.
It's a little bit dodgy. But they should have provided me
sirens.
Yeah. But yeah, so the battery like would drain really quickly and everything. So I put the white door on it and it really turned it into a pretty good phone. From what was unusable, it made that hardware usable.
So that's a pretty good example of, I guess, a custom OS that's been a bit tailored. It's become a little bit more mature. And you do see quite a few of them out now that, you know, as I said before, have had quite a bit of contribution and have matured to a point where quite a few people use them. And in Android specifically, you know, you have the standard OS and that gets updated by Google every year, but it doesn't necessarily go straight onto all devices. It goes via the manufacturers and then they put their kind of TouchWiz or their
Sense UI
on there or whatever you have. And it's not this pure version of Google that we all kind of aspire to. In the early days, actually, it was a negative. The pure version of Google missed a lot of features. So people would install these ROMs and get cool features like copy and paste and alarm clocks and all the stuff that has to be in there now. But yeah, you know, there was this whole you know, draw towards putting a different version on to get the best experience you want from the device that you have at that time. And one I had recently was I had an S4, and in the States they released a Google Play edition of that device. So it's a completely vanilla version. You know, you could buy it through the Google Play Store, but you couldn't do it in Australia. And I was like, hey, mm-hmm. I kind of want that. So went online, went to XDA, I found it. I figured out how to kind of do the bootloader and unlock my device. And through a really annoying and lengthy kind of button pressing sequence, I was able to get into kind of the, you know, the, I guess, manufacturer's area of the device, load it in, boot it up, and, you know, happy days. But again, as I mentioned before, that slowly kind of creeps in. It gets a little bit unstable. The battery's not quite as good as it should be. But it matured, it got better, and I was pretty happy with that. So, you know, that's how that device stood. Obviously, I got rid of that device 6 months ago.
There were three phones ago, man.
Here's an interesting talking point. Just get ready. It's gonna
hey,
be
we're
good.
On a podcast. That's good.
Story checks out. Features that make their way into the legit releases that have been inspired by, directly copied,
yes,
from the jailbreaking community, or the, sorry, what was that term again?
Partridge
privilege escalation. It just sounds so legit.
Like, privilege.
No, I didn't hack my phone. I escalated my privileges. Yeah, so like in iOS 7, we had to wait years for the slide-up menu to access the
phone.
You know, like your Wi-Fi and airplane mode and everything. That was on the jailbroken. Like there was that was kind of like the killer feature of jailbreaking your iPhone, which you could swipe the status bar,
yeah,
and you'd get this really ugly kind of. But they had themed versions, but it was really the same functionality. And it was sort of years and years later until Apple incorporated that for realsies.
Yeah, and look, there's loads of features that have worked their way into the legit OS. And that would, you know, looking at other things like multitasking, that was a big one for ages. Mm-hmm. So the kind of indie community were using that. Wallpapers. Do you remember when iOS didn't have wallpapers?
Yep.
And it had the ugly grey dock and the black screen. And
that
came along and said, hey, I've got some pictures behind my icons. And that was just a revolutionary thing.
And even using some more of the hardware. So for Androids, I'm not sure, a lot of people aren't aware now that you can actually plug a mouse or keyboard or USB stick directly into your phone if you've got this, it's called an on-the-go adapter. Mm. That was something that was achieved through the ROMs and customization a lot earlier. And now Android has adopted it and it's actually in all of the phones. So your S4 can do that as well.
So James, I have a question for you. Where do you put your mobile when you're using your mouse and your keyboard with your mobile?
That's, you tape it. So have you seen the Google?
It's really quick on that one.
Like an Oculus thing, you tape it to your head.
And
the
cardboard.
Then
Google Cardboard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I have a little Game of Thrones throne replica on my desk, and I put my phone on that.
Game
and
of Thrones?
I've been meaning to talk about this in the podcast. Just talking about like putting your devices in places. This would be a perfect stand for such a case. But I bought a monkey tail a couple of months ago. It's a product. It's called a monkey tail. It's a suction cup. It goes on the back of your iPad. And it's like a long, flexible metal sort of encased in rubber tail that's like bendy. It's kind of like those tripods that you can wrap around. Little...
Yeah.
And it's the most amazing thing ever.
How do you use it?
I highly recommend it.
What's your use case for monkey tails?
Is this a plug?
No, I had to pay full price, and they don't listen to this show. So,
Owen podcast is not
available. They're not available in Australia. I had to. Oh, well, I think they ship.
Had to monkey import.
They had to ship here, and the shipping was like a lot. But yeah, it's just a really cool stand. You can just flex it into wherever you want. So, say for example, if you're on the couch, and you know how it's kind of awkward when you have an iPad. If you want to type on an iPad and you're on a couch, would you say that's an easy activity?
No. If your knees are up.
How are you going to do that with this?
Exactly.
How does monkey tail help?
Monkey tail, you like wedge a little bit of it behind your back.
Is it that long, the little stick thing?
And you bend it around your body and it like sits up in front and you can just be like...
That's the most awkward...
It's really cool. Check it out.
That around with
I feel like it's the iPad accessory best kept secret.
Well, there's the answer to your question before, how you can use the mouse and the keyboard. Just wrap this thing around your neck, have your iPad sitting in front of your face.
You could do that if you wanted.
Perfect.
You could. But you can also bend it around in a little circle so it props up. Like I do that when I'm cooking. Yep. I have recipes. So it stands up a bit higher. It's really quite good.
So did you say it had a suction cup on the back? So
yeah.
It could work for...
It works on anything. You could, put it on a piece of glass or a book if you wanted.
Or an Android tablet, I think is what James was getting at.
or if you wanted to. But I don't know why you'd want to use an Android tablet.
Because Nexus 10, superior Nexus.
No, I'm joking.
What were you saying before, James?
I have no idea.
Anyway, hot topic. Derailed.
Good one, James.
Keith, you're not doing a very good job at keeping this...
I've been away.
On topic.
Do we need to cover why I've been away? Like, it hasn't been jail. I've been flying around Australia doing talks. So, I'm still tired. Self-plug, yeah.
I saw that for people at Yao. Thanks for joining us. So, your plug
Yeah, thanks,
worked.
Yao. Yeah, if you're listening to this, thank you.
Because of Yao, send us an email.
I plugged the podcast at every single talk. So, it was probably not the best advertising.
Thank you for coming, everyone.
We're going to get a lot more listeners because that was a very, very good talk. I did see I caught the Melbourne one, funnily enough. And it was very good.
Didn't you stand up at the end, Pete?
No.
Question time. Best time. Cool. So we've just derailed entirely.
So with jailbreaking and rooting, or what do we call it?
Privilege escalation.
Product emancipation.
PE. Yep.
So I'm early on, it was pretty prevalent early on, or like why people would get into it. But nowadays... Is it even relevant?
I'm hearing a lot of it's really good for old phones.
Yeah.
My plan is when my Nexus 4 goes out of Google's eye and they stop supporting it, and it's the next Nexus for them to stop supporting. Good God, don't do that.
Next Nexus.
I think it is becoming less and less relevant as the devices mature and get better and get more functionality. So if you look at the early iPhone, it didn't even have copy and paste.
Didn't even have it. It's not there.
Didn't even have it. So just simple stuff.
It was remember and type.
It's called do it again.
It's good with the words. So just basic stuff just wasn't available. So you kind of like had to out of necessity if you wanted to do basic functions. But now I think it's too much of a hassle. I don't bother with it.
I'm too scared.
Alex mentioned earlier around... there's the Google Play editions of phones. So where before, like you said, it was the functionality wasn't there. And now there's even a call to go for like Samsung with its, what was the name of its UI?
Sense.
TouchWiz.
And HTC's Sense UI.
HTC was Sense.
To go back from that and take away that customization and just go to the real pure Android. So it has matured that much.
It's being offered by the manufacturers now. And even though some of the manufacturers do allow access to the kind of back end of the phone, that sounds a bit wrong. It's they're real options for consumers now. So you can go and buy the version of the phone you want. So you get the hardware and then you can also select the software as well. On top of that, Google's been doing it for years where you could download launchers for your phone. Mm-hmm. So you get a layer of customization on top of your phone without having to crack it. You get this experience and you can customize it and all the rest of it. So,
Do you think with Android L, there's going to be less of a need for the, or they'll just be, because it seems like Google is pushing away from this stuff.
Different material.
Is there like going to be less custom things in the future?
I hope so.
Less like bootloaders.
Is my opinion. Sort of, yeah. I mean, we don't know until it sort of happens.
But is that like one of their priorities?
I think, yeah, release? Google seem to be trying to claw back at the whole Android experience now and try and take it back themselves. Something I covered in my talk, so I'm now more knowledgeable about it, was that all the things they introduced, Google introduced at the last I.O., so there's Android TV, Android Wear, Android this, Android that, Android Toaster, is you're not allowed to skin it. You're not allowed to put your own Sense UI or your own TouchWiz UI on top of it. So for the Android TV, for your Wear, your watch, and all the rest of the experience, is it's Google's pure experience. There's rumors of this thing called Android Silver, which is where you release your flagship phones, the LG G3 and HTC M8 and all the big flagship Samsung phones as well. So Android Silver is a version of that, which is as close to the Android open source project, which is the vanilla Android, as possible, with only very, very minor alterations on top. I don't know what minor alterations means, but and then Google will market Android Silver and tell you, give you marketing advice and how to push it, but it's only rumor mill at the moment with what Silver is. Everyone thought there wasn't going to be another Nexus phone, which is the pure Android phone for developers. Best phone.
As long as that gives the user the chance to go away and then download an app to change the launcher or customize it the way they want, then I think that's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, it's going to work well. I think it's Android's draw card, really.
Android or even, Google themselves are now, like, the apps on Android, where you used to have Google, the camera app, the actual Play Store, all of these apps are now, instead of being part of the ROM, they've actually separated them out and given them as a single app, which makes it easier for them to upgrade, but also possible for people to.
Yeah, you can get a Gingerbread phone, and the first thing it will do is update Gmail and all the other Google apps straight away. So it starts to actually look a lot like an almost new Android phone.
You see all these things coming through for Android, and I'm conscious we've spoken about it quite a bit, but what about for iOS? I mean, what are they going to do? There's new versions of their devices coming. We're, you know, potentially looking at iPhone 6, larger screen size. Apple's always had this kind of little bit of a block for a user in terms of what you can do and what experience they should get. And I guess that's the purest form. It's, you know, it's vanilla as you can get in terms of what the manufacturer wants. But yeah, I think in terms of changing the layout, we're still looking at a kind of grid app drawer and so on. You know, what should we expect there?
I don't think iPhone users really demand that, or they really want that. They're happy just to be sort of take it as it comes.
Perfect.
I think that like that's what you pay for. You pay for that design and that attention to detail. So yeah, me personally, I don't want to go screwing around with it. Even if I see things, I'm like, well, that could be done a little bit better. I'm just, you know, I don't really care.
You're just not a tinkerer.
That is not true.
Fiddler.
Oh! I think now that the phones themselves, there's so much more hardware in the phones now, when you've got really, there's pedometers in them now. There's all these.
They can measure your heart rate.
Yeah. And that not only are those hardware sensors in there, they're open, those sensors are accessible to developers like us. So once before, in the early days, you'd had to jailbreak or root your phone to get access to some of those sensors and the gyroscopes and that. Now it is open slathered, so apps can be completely tailored to use everything in the phone and make use of all the hardware.
Yeah.
So it's not... to go back to
your
question.
For me, it's just like, it's the updates. Because that was the thing. It was like, you'd always have to check. Because I've probably had a jailbroken phone for longer than I've had a legit iPhone. And so I made the switch when I got my 4S. I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. But there was... Yeah, I don't know. It was because the updates come out to the firmware so often, it's just such a hassle. I remember like checking Twitter all the time and going like, oh, there's a new release, do not update because it'll like brick your phone, blah, blah, blah. It's just such a headache and just ruins just the whole experience. Yeah. So I'd rather just, you know, update, sweet. Okay, cool.
But that's the whole thing about an update now. It has this, you know, there's events that are circled around them or surrounding them that, you know, everything's coming. We know what's coming. We get developer previews. People get more access to it. There's more beta testing. And when it does come out, you know, you see the adoption goes through the absolute roof. So latest versions of both, you know, iOS 7 and as well as 4.4 KitKat. Yeah, all the devices have over-the-air updates now, and they're kind of partial updates. They're not these heavy, you know, IPA files that you had to download from your Mac and plug in and then do this and that. And it's just so much more convenient for the user. They get more benefits. The manufacturers know that it's not just bug fixes and defects that they're sorting out. It's all the kind of visual candy and attraction that you get from that. So I think they've become wise to it as well. It's just, as a user, I know there's good stuff coming. It's coming all the time. It's going to do it really quickly and easily, and I'm going to see the benefit. Awesome. Let's move on, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only thing that's going to make me gain root access on my Android phone and load a custom ROM is Google say, okay, no more updates for your phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll be like, I still like my phone. I'm going to keep using it.
To the white door, like custom firmware for iPhone as well, because it was still a great piece of hardware. It's still working, but the you know, the firmware that was on it wasn't great, so why not?
Yeah, and that's following quite a similar path to like on computers with Linux and Windows, and you know, on a
Hackintosh
that's right. So with an old computer Hackintosh. That these days, you know, Windows would not run at all, there's 101 different versions of Linux that will run on it and actually run quite fast, so you can recycle old hardware.
Just going around the table here, what's kind of like your fondest tinkering, hacky, jailbreaky moment where you sort of attacked a piece of hardware, firmware, and went, I just made this kick ass. Okay, so Alex is like jumping up and down. I think he might have something.
Oh, I so do. So going back, I think it was 2008, 2009 maybe. So 2G... iPhone comes out, iPhone number one, and they'd only released it in the States.
Yeah.
Right? It was, you could walk into any Apple store. My brother lives in Manhattan, so he walked into kind of the Man Apple store on the avenue with the cube, the big one, and walked in and bought two brand new iPhone 2Gs, $200 a piece, including tax. Walked straight out the door, and when he came to visit our family home in the UK, he gave me the devices. I knew that they potentially wouldn't work because they were locked to AT&T, but I had this awesome iPod-like device, and I could, you know, listen to my music and access the web over Wi-Fi, but there was just no way I was going to get any SIM access whatsoever. But the community jumped on it, and there came quite a few ways that you could get around this. So one of them actually involved physically taking out your SIM card, cutting the corner off it, like taking a huge chunk off it and buying something called a magic SIM. That's, and what this was this microscopically thin layer of circuitry that would kind of glue on the underside of your SIM, and the little chunk you cut out is where the microchip would sit, and you'd slide it into your phone, so a little aluminium tray, click it in. You also had to jailbreak your device in order to enable it, and by doing a combination of those things, restart your device, cross your fingers, bing, O2 network. Great. Beautiful. Device working, you know, able to use it over the air. Lovely 2G-ness, GPRS download speeds, which was fantastic, depending on where you were. And
you can
yeah,
hear, you know, the dial-up sound in the back of my head.
Glorious. But yeah, that's what we had to do as consumers to get access to it. Obviously, over time, they actually released the device in the country, but, you know, I was using a device that was, you know, released in the States, so the firmware on the radios and things like that. And you get this situation where there's a no-turn-back update. So if you update it from Apple, then all the jailbreaks won't work, and then over time a new jailbreak would come out, and then that would work. And you're in danger sometime of putting your device into this state where you've essentially bricked it. Mm-hmm. So you've got the update wrong, or it's the wrong combination, and it just won't even start up. So you've ruined at that time $200. But, you know, as we know, the price for devices has gone up, and you know, you're left with this useless brick that you just...
Well, I mean, you could take that device and you could put it on top of some paper and make sure the paper doesn't blow away. So there's that.
What's that?
It's a good use.
So I've been using... We've done a phone recycling initiative here at the office, and we've found all these old phones. And so I've been taking phone calls all day and then tripping over and just losing the phone into a wall or throwing it, just seeing the reactions and
just drop it in a glass of water.
So let me get this straight. Phones that are going to needy children, you're throwing against walls.
No, just making
and
sure.
And you almost destroyed a drone today behind a cupboard.
That's why I'm not allowed.
I think
nice
you've done
speak.
Enough.
Were these phones any, rooted?
Do you have any great mod stories?
The phone-related one was about 6 years ago. I had a HTC Diamond, which is an Android phone from a little way back, and it had a notoriously poor camera. And so I rooted the phone to be able to change the camera. And so did that, and it was marginally better with hours and hours of work. And
cool story, bro.
Yeah, Keith? But the one interesting thing I want to say, the most interesting thing that I've customized was one of my Canon SLR cameras.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, there's so...
Interesting story, bro. Pete?
That's actually good.
It's pretty cool.
What's
actually,
it called, the custom firmware?
It's called Magic Lantern.
Yes.
Yeah. If you've got a reasonably sort of higher-end digital SLR camera by Canon...
7D, 5D, 60D.
Yeah, 7D, yeah. 60, yeah, 60D as well. So. Look this up, Magic Lantern. It gives you so much more ability to do filming... camera, you can take photos of lightning automatically. It's really cool.
It really it turns the camera into, it just increases the video recording functionality of the camera. I think a lot of people use it
still
in the
for photos, yeah,
and also photos. Yeah.
But that was probably the scariest thing. Just after I'd spent quite a lot of money on this camera, and then put in this.
So I've got a 60D, and I would just be too scared to do that.
Mine was a 5D. Go oof, do it. Nice. It's worth it.
I finally know what Pete feels like when I'm geeking out about. So I'm like, I understand Canon. Canon is a camera. Yeah.
Yeah, they make printers and cameras.
Oh wow, that's good.
And weapons.
Wait, what?
Everyone.
It's a Canon. Boof.
Now, it pretty much reminds me of a few years back when you could do that kind of thing to your Xbox and get the XMBC on there with
your
8 gig drive.
You just stole my thunder. That was going to be my
too slow, Pete.
That's my great moment. No, that was the clearest, such a good idea doing this to jailbreak it. Because it just that blew that device just wide open with what you could do with it. You could... save games to the hard drive. You could run XBMC. You could
what
stream media. Okay, so
Xbox
original
media
Xbox.
Center.
Xbox Media Center. So it's basically, I think Plex was born out of Plex is like XBMC's cousin or child.
Maybe.
But yeah, so and XBMC is still a great app that's used everywhere.
Yeah, I use it at home for my media center.
Yeah, so it all originated from the. Jailbreaking. What would you call it? Modding community from the original Xbox, because people were like, "Hey, we've got a little computer. We should be able to. It's plugged into our TVs. We should be able to play media on it.
It's got Microsoft on it. Let's mess with it."
And even though it was standard def, actually, like way more functionality than a 2013 Apple TV. You know, just super cool. Like you could stream wirelessly to it if you had the little. Adapter, or you could just plug Ethernet into it and stream all your media. And this is, original Xbox days. And you could skin it, and it really spawned a whole new genre of devices. And then from that, you get devices like the Roku, and arguably you could say the Apple TV, and it's this whole sort of, it defined what a media center should look like. You know, it's very, very cool.
Yeah, it's one of the Xbox 360 now. Is that basically XBMC that plays better games? It's sounding like a lot of those features, the new Xbox, there's Xbox One as well.
Yeah.
They really tout the media center features now.
Yeah, well, so I think
that
it's
come from that.
Obviously, there was a real demand for it, and it's been baked in since, and PlayStation have sort of tried to sort of get on board. But it's just an interesting... example of when like the developer community and the open source community like really pushes something and it gets pushed into legit in quotation marks releases.
I guess something to raise is that when we do things like this to our devices, not always as I guess the manufacturers want, but also when we build apps, our clients say, hey, we don't want people with jailbroken or rooted devices to use our app because they get access to the file system, our app's meant to be secure, and yeah, we might want to block them because it might compromise the data that we're collecting or passing through on our app. So it's something we have to be very conscious of. Now, even though we might block a number of users for obviously security reasons, you'll often see them still give bad feedback in the App Store.
Yeah.
And it's like,
doesn't work on my jailbroken iPhone. What the heck?
I find that strange because when I was like mad into jailbreaking and all that sort of stuff, there would be so many apps that just wouldn't work. And it just comes with the territory. You just be like, okay, I can't use that anymore.
You know, well, like, I guess this app's enough. Dead to me.
No, I did do the thing.
They wouldn't work because the jailbreaking broke the app, or actively the app was preventing you from
using a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think they need to make jailbreaking and rooting your phones harder so that you can't just be this follow five steps on the internet and then it just works. I and it's really easy.
It's still pretty hard. Like, yeah? No one's broken the third gen Apple TV yet.
But when they do, it'll just be some sort of script that someone can double click on and then leave one star reviews for everybody because nothing works anymore. Yeah. So they don't understand what they've just done.
Or continue on the same path of why we're not jailbreaking as many phones and apps and Androids now, which is getting that experience, making the actual operating system as mature and clean to use so that there is no need for it.
Yeah, just buy a Nexus. That's my advice.
So, Keith, as Alex said, sometimes we're requested not to allow a user to run an app if it's jailbroken. What sort of apps do we try to prevent that happening, and how and why do we do it?
Well, it's mainly apps that are very security critical, where we try and prevent that from happening. So like a banking app or something financial or something that handles user data that if it got out there, it's personal sensitive data.
We don't want someone like Alex breaking in, taking all your monies and all personal data.
Tinkering with your personal data.
Fiddling. Selling it online.
Escalating your things.
Yeah.
But there's a security implication to this. I can speak from the Android side better. I can also speak gooder too. It's been a while. Like Android is running on Linux, and when you get root access, you've got super user access, so you can make basically admin calls to the phone and get access to everything.
So that differs between iOS and Android. So is it the Key Store on Android, and then it's the keychain on iOS. That's right. And there's two places where encrypted data can be held, and obviously two different ways can be accessed. But they do differ between the platforms. And you know, in terms of investment from someone like a bank in order to build a secure app, they go to great lengths and great expense to ensure that you can't access the keys in order to remotely access an account and a lot of the applications that we're releasing at the moment have something called two-factor authentication. So there's a fingerprint on the device to say, hey, okay, this person's logged in and they verified with the service, and the service has sent an SMS back or something similar, and they've paired their device to the service. So you definitely don't want a device like that.
You don't want to store your personal private data onto a phone or a device that's been compromised. Yep. That can't guarantee the security of what you're storing.
Yeah,
is the gist of it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In most cases, for that data to be accessed somewhere else, these companies are doing this to try to protect you as the user from your own phone, because someone would need to steal that phone to then get into that data on that phone. Is that right? Or can they still get into it remotely? And
there's always a way to get into it remotely or by having the actual phone. There's just much more surface area for attack if you've got root access on your phone. In Android, at least, whenever you run an application, it runs in its own kind of user. And the users only have access to their little sandbox area. So if they store something securely, they can only access that part of the storage where they stored the thing. If you have root access on the phone, you can then give root access to other applications, can request root and get root, And I'm saying root a lot. And then they can basically, if you've got root, you can get to anything on the device. Like in Linux, everything's a file. And so you can get access to anything on the entire phone. You can brick the phone if you feel like it, because that's not very helpful really. But yeah, it's you can do lots of cool things, but it's really easy to break stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always dreamed, my first Android phone was a HTC Dream with a little rollerball. It was great.
So useful.
Yeah, it was slow.
It's great for golf games.
But that rollerball is actually still supported in the current version of Android.
Whoa.
Pro tip. But don't do it. It's really hard trying to support something like that when we don't have a lot of test phones with rollerballs in them anymore. But I always wanted to gain root access on that phone and load CyanogenMod and keep going because Google stopped giving me updates over the air. But it was always a really difficult process for me to do that. Like I looked through all the steps to do it. It was hard back then. It was all early and new. And
hard for you as well as a developer. So like regular...
Well, I was a Windows developer, so with a grain of salt at that time.
Okay.
I wasn't really into mobile development. Nothing against Windows developers. We love you. I'm one of you. So by the time that I had sort of got the confidence in mobile industry to gain root access to my own phone, I had a Nexus phone, and that suddenly the need to do that to my phone to customize kind of went away because Google did everything pretty much the way I wanted it, to the point where it was just too much effort to gain that little bit extra that I was after.
And look, I think one thing that is always evident when you do this kind of customization installations and so on is that performance eventually becomes very affected. So it's usually fine the day you do it and you install your apps and you're running around, and a few weeks later, because you've changed all those permissions and because they don't adhere to the structures that were...
You're now in an untested state.
Exactly.
So in summary, now you know how to do it. Don't do it.
I like that. That's a good summary. I think we can pretty much end on that, actually. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming in. Mr. Peter, thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure palace.
An escalated pleasure palace. Thank you, Mr. Alex.
Thank you very much for having me, and more importantly, tolerating me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, James.
Thank you. And my mind is now, I'm no longer as naive and innocent after hearing all these sexual innuendo discussions today. Thank you.
You instigated it. So.
I had nothing to do with it.
We'll have to listen back to see who started it. I think it was Peter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Oh, should we say the Twitter handle?
At Outwear.
I've said it. Thank you, Andy.